Supper.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And this is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Did you hear that last line of that text? I can't hear it without singing it. I can't hear Peter say, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life," without the old version, not the one we just sang, but the old tune running through my head. Jesus says to the disciples, this is a hard teaching. Do you want to go? Do you want to leave? Others are leaving. And Peter says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so because it's rung through my head all week, I'm going to ask you to take a hymnal out right now. Take out a hymnal and turn to the front part of the hymnal that has the small numbers at the bottom of the page, and turn to page 151, 151. So the front of the hymnal, if you're new today or if you're not familiar with this book, the front has small numbers at the bottom of the page, and that back part has big numbers at the top of the page, and those are our hymns. So page 151, the first little snippet of music there, is for my lifetime, almost every, I see a lot of people nodding, yeah, for my lifetime, what we sang before we heard the gospel. And so I'm going to ask you to just sing it with me, and I'm going to pick a key, and maybe it'll be K flat, I don't know, but... Oh, thank you, Ford. Ready? Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Is that ringing your bones, some of you? As I read this text, this just keeps ringing through me. And so I'm going to ask you to sing it a few times. But first, not right now, but first, I just have to tell you that we've been in the Bread of Life discourse, chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, for 5 weeks. And we have heard him say that he is the Bread of Life. We have heard him say it and say it and say it. And I kind of feel bad for the Jewish leaders right now because he's been saying it and saying it. They're listening to this explanation that, and for him he's saying, "I am the bread of life," that he's the source of all that is, that he's the salvation for the world, that abiding in him, he uses that word a lot, abiding, resting, remaining in him, means abiding in the source of all life. It means abiding in the source of salvation. And the way that you do this abiding according to Jesus right now in John 6 is that you eat his flesh and you drink his blood. Seriously, I don't know how they took that seriously, except they know the language of sacrificial lamb, but how could they say, even last week, he said, how can him giving us his flesh and blood, how is that going to save anybody? So I don't know what they were supposed to say, like, by Jove, that makes complete sense, and thank you for clearing this up for us, or, I mean, how could they possibly understand? It was this carpenter's son. They've said last week, isn't this just Joseph's son? How can his flesh and blood save us? How could they possibly sort out that this man and his interpretation of Jewish law that's different than their interpretation of Jewish law, that this Jesus, this Joseph's son, this carpenter's son, has always existed, that he's the beginning and the end, and he's one with the God of Israel, but he's not the Father, he's the Son, and he's always been present with God the Father, but he's not God the Father, and he's fully God, and he's fully human, and his death, which he keeps saying is coming, has the power to reconcile all of creation to God. And in his flesh and blood are forgiveness and grace and mercy for the whole cosmos, it says in Greek. The whole cosmos. That when human beings throw their very worst at Jesus, that he will receive it and bear it and become their sin and take it up on a cross and stay there till it's dead, and he is too. And that would have the power to unite us forever with God. How could these Jewish leaders know? And how can we know? We speak a lot about doubt in our world. I have lots of beautiful conversations with you that are truth, and they're sort of bearing your soul. And so I think we sing when we don't know. I think we sing, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. You and I have heard the story of Jesus over and over and over. We tell it every year. And if you are new to the story of Jesus and new to the church, you will hear it told every year. And we still learn something new every time, and we understand something better or in a new way. We layer on the things that we see this time on the things that we saw last time. Sometimes we have to sweep away some things we thought we knew. We hear this story over and over. We learn the foundations of the Christian faith, like the Lord's Prayer. And we say 1,000 times, lead us not into temptation. And then one day, when in our lives we are staring temptation in the face, we hear ourselves say that line with the rest of everybody, and it strikes us differently. Lead me not into temptation. Many of us have spent our whole lives piecing together what it means to be saved by Jesus. Even today, we're reading the end of this long chapter that we've been in for 5 weeks. Jesus is the bread of life. He said it last week and the week before. He said it this way. He said it that way. And maybe today, you're making another connection, a new piece in place. Or maybe you've moved an old piece into a new place of this story of your salvation. Jesus is telling these Jewish leaders the vast truth about himself. He's telling them that he's the sacrificial lamb. And the Jewish leaders understand that language. They know about sacrificial lambs. They know the stories of the events that led up to the Exodus, their ancestors' freedom from slavery in Egypt. They know how they were to prepare a lamb and eat it, and that on how God saved the Israelites because they took some of that blood and put it on their doorsteps, and the angel of death passed by them. They know how the flesh and blood of something can have salvation inside of it. It's the story of their whole people. They know. But Jesus is telling them something so much bigger. He's not just lamb's blood on a doorpost. He's the bread of life who brings eternal life. He's telling them how the story of God, this love story, plays out on earth. That people will believe he is the Messiah. And at the end of this part of scripture we had today, they said, "We have come to believe." And these people will abide in him and remain in him and be his body and be baptized into him and live out this mission of love and unity and mercy as members of his body. They will gather to remember him and be with him in a very specific way around a table with bread and with wine and mystery and love and unity and prayer and scripture. And they will eat his flesh and drink his blood. And in that unity and in the abiding in him and believing that he's present and in the nourishment and the strength to go out and love and forgive and nourish the whole cosmos, all of that is inside this language he keeps using about being the bread of life, which is given, he said, for the life of the cosmos. Those Jewish leaders had certain expectations for Messiah, and Jesus didn't meet them. He was telling them the full truth, and they were still ready for some pieces, and they weren't very fond of hearing new interpretations of what they thought was true, and we don't like that very much either. But both you and I live on this side of the resurrection of this man who is the bread of life. You and I come to the table to be forgiven and nourished and to go out to forgive and nourish. You and I come with baptismal crosses on our foreheads. We know that we are part of this astonishing story of salvation. And this story that we know we're a part of scratches up against the story the rest of the world tells us every day. Jesus has come for the sake of the life of the cosmos, and you and I are part of that. And what does it all mean, and how do we process it, and how do we put all the pieces together, and how do we know if this new piece really is a piece, or if it's been moved, or is it faithful? Is it a faithful interpretation? And so we ask, Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. This time around, this year's telling of the story of Jesus Christ, the piece that I'm putting into place better or more clearly, or that I'm staring at more intently, it's that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has to do with everything. The cosmos. It has to do with everything. So it absolutely has to do with the planet and caring for it, even when it's terribly inconvenient to care for it. It absolutely has to do with unity with all people, the people I do not like and the people I do not understand. Every skin color, every socioeconomic status, all identities of gender, all nations. So I have to examine my role in disunity and the role God is calling me to play in unity. And it is confusing, and it's difficult, and it's inconvenient. And I'm not always sure that I'm doing it right. So I have to turn back and ask, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has everything to do with the money that I have and why I have it. if I am baptized into the mission of love and mercy and unity, then so is my wallet. It absolutely has to do with the boundaries I draw around myself, the boundaries we draw around our nation, who is welcome in our communities, for how long and in what ways will we welcome them. If Jesus has come for the sake of the cosmos and not just you and me, then I have to wonder why I have which boundaries in place, and are they faithful, and are they holy? And I don't always know. And so in order to discern one more time a little bit better, I have to ask, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has everything to do with every single one of us. All of us being loved, not exploited, not assaulted, not bullied, not rejected, not ignored, not silenced, loved. So if I am baptized into this life, then I am both entitled to be loved and responsible to love others. It has to do with everything, this death and resurrection of Jesus. If I come forward to receive the bread and wine, believing that Christ is present in it, then I am receiving into my body the one who is able to love the whole world even when it rejects and kills him. The one who is both divine and human, joining me to the Holy Trinity, which has no beginning and no end. I'm joined to the one who takes away the sin of the world, the one who makes all things new, the one who knows I absolutely do not deserve salvation and then just offers it just the same. And offers it to me so that I will go out and offer things to those who do not deserve it in my world. Our Lord comes to us in the wine and the bread, his blood and his flesh, because its meaning is at once as broad and vast as the cosmos and as specific as me and you kneeling with our beggar hands outstretched. It's the gift that Christ gives of himself for the cosmos. And you and I are part of that salvation story. It is as huge as that and as small and specific as that. And so we turn to Jesus and he says, it's complicated. It's a difficult message. Do you want to leave? Others are leaving. Do you want to leave? And we ask, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.